Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? Stop what you're doing and listen.
The KDLM Sports Wrap featuring Zeke Foreman.
Forest Hills Resort is not responsible for errant shots. And that, yes. They must have known Zeke was coming.
Thoughtful insight, relevant topics.
There's a lot of morons in the mainstream media that just don't get it.
I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today.
Detroit Lakes, go crazy!
Now, if you're competent in an age of incompetence, that makes you appear extraordinary.
I'm not an expert, but I do have a strong opinion.
Thank you so much for saying what needed to be said.
We're still here! We're still here!
The Furman character, he's never called timeout before. Who is this guy?
Come on! Get up! Come on, get up! If you're as tight as I am!
KDLM, the station you can count on. Happy Thursday, everybody. This is the KDLM Sports Wrap. What a day yesterday, huh? Finally having his moment. The 15th Minnesota Twin in the last 62 years to win the American League batting title. Luis Arraez, and of course, Yankees fans riding in the streets. The Yankees just don't want to see anybody else succeed unless they're wearing those god-awful pinstripes in the Bronx. Between Saints fans this week and Yankees fans this week, I'm about done with sports. It's been, I mean, don't get me wrong, the tears have been delicious. But there was a headline yesterday that was sent out with a push notification from CBS Sports yesterday afternoon. The push notification wasn't Luis Arraez wins batting title. No, the mainstream media, who are all morons, we know it. Yesterday's headline on CBS Sports reads this: Yankees Aaron Judge loses batting title to Luis Arraez. I get from a national standpoint, nobody's paying any attention to Luis Arraez. Everyone's watching Aaron Judge these last 2 weeks, and he's felt it. Aaron Judge has sucked the last 2 weeks. He got number 62 on Tuesday. Aaron Judge didn't play yesterday. I wonder if Aaron Judge's hair is falling out like Roger Maris's did back in the 61 season. Because here's my thoughts on this. I don't want to spend too much time. I feel like all I've talked about these last handful of days is Aaron Judge. And I'm glad that since the 2022 season, for the Twins at least, is officially done, we can put this to bed. For all the stress that Aaron Judge has endured this week, for all the records that he's chasing, and he's chasing a triple crown, he's chasing Roger Maris, I would take that any day of the week, any day of the week, compared to what Roger Maris was dealing with in 1961. As he was chasing one of the most beloved, not just Yankees, but baseball players of all time, trying to break Babe Ruth's single-season record. If you watch the movie 61, which is an absolutely fantastic movie, and I can't wait for movie 62 to come out, because you know they're going to do it. They're going to freaking do it. They're going to make a movie about Aaron Judge breaking a home run record that's not technically, I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, too close to Fargo. It's technically not a home run record anymore. Barry Bonds hit 73. Regardless of how you want to look at it, performance-enhancing drugs or not, Barry Bonds swung the bat 73 times, and 73 times the ball left the park. There's nothing you can do about that at this point. Roger Maris was under much more stress than Aaron Judge was, despite him chasing the batting crown as well. Luis Arraez is the guy, your 2022 American League batting champion. If you calculate the averages, the Twins now averaging one batting champion every 4 years, give or take. 15 of them in the last 62 seasons. A lot of that, special thanks to Rod Carew, but Arraez becoming the fifth guy to win one in a Twins uniform. Puckett, Mauer, Oliva,
Carew, and now you can add Luis Arraez to that heralded list as well. We'll recap the Twins' win, putting an, the White Sox fans are booing in the first inning. That's always a good thing when the Twins are playing them. We'll recap yesterday's Twins game. We'll get to some volleyball schedule stuff for tonight. Lakers at home against 11-6 Staples Motley. We'll have that game on KDLM tonight. Today's a very special anniversary for Vikings fans. And second half of the Sports Wrap, we'll put a final bow on the box that was the Twins season. Brandon Warren from Access Twins will be my guest. Let's rewind the last 24 hours in sports here, though I'm off my friggin' soapbox.
Rewind time.
When I go to DR, I talk with my hitting coach, Fran Valdez, and then he say me, hey, I'll go help you to win it by the title this year. And then we work hard, and then I did it. I did it this for my family, especially for my wife, my daughter, my two daughters, Emma and Esther, and then I go there and enjoy it with my family. And then I know I'm a good hitter, but I compete with a lot of good people like Josh, Bogart, Abreu. Those guys can compete too, so, but I did it. I just want to say thanks God for this.
That was Luis Arraez yesterday after winning the American League batting title with a 316 average. The Yankees pundits will say, oh, 316 is the lowest batting average since 1968, and then they moved the mound around, and well, here's the deal, is the shift didn't exist in 1968. So I'm fired up. I'm going to try and not be fired up about this because there are a lot of naysayers trying to take some of this away from Luis Arraez. Luis Arraez was batting 350 the All-Star break, got hurt, limped to a 316 average. That's just how baseball works sometimes. Sorry, Yankee fans. We're not going to bow down to your deity all the time. Twins do win yesterday. Kind of a positive note to end the season. A lot of power from those bats. Gary Sanchez, Jermaine Palacios, who I said on Twitter 2 days ago, why are we giving at-bats to Luis Arraez? Give those at-bats to Jermaine Palacios. And he hits a home run each of his last two games. For the last time this season, which is kind of sad, to recap yesterday's game, here's voice of the Twins, Corey Provis.
Twins and the White Sox wrapping up the 2022 season and some drama, some storylines entering the game's final day. Topic number one, Luis Arraez inching closer to an American League batting championship. Arraez playing on the season's final day. Aaron Judge did not. And Louis entered play on the final day of the season with a four-point lead in the batting average race over Aaron Judge. And also a storyline we were watching, Louis Varland, his fifth big league start, looking for his very first major league win. And any starter will tell you what they love to see, good defense and early run support. And the Twins, boy, they got that run support going for Varland out of the gate. They batted nine in a six-run first inning. A Gary Sanchez three-run homer. Jermaine Palacios a two-run homer. Matt Wallner RBI single. 6-0 Twins at that point. As for Arraez, he walked in the first. He walked in the second, so still batting 315, then took one last swing in the third. Hamilton stays. The 0-2 pitch, a fly ball, right center field, hit well. Sheets chasing, still going. That's going to be over his head, and that's going to stay in play and find the wall. Arraez to second base. He is in standing. That's a double. And Luis Arraez getting a standing ovation inside the Twins dugout. So Luis Arraez had three plate appearances, two walks, and a double. He would then come out about a pitch or two later for Jose Miranda as a pinch runner. Arraez ending his season at 316. With that, the batting championship is his as he joins a very, very special group. The other Twins to win a batting crown, Rod Carew 7 times, Joe Mauer 3 times, Tony Oliva 3 times, Kirby Puckett once. And now Luis Arraez a part of that very impressive group as he gets it done here in 2022. Varland, he got it done as well. A 6-run first, a 3-run second. Varland then went 5 innings, no runs, 3 hits. He struck out 5. Cole Sands actually picked up a 4-inning save. Very first save for Cole Sands. And the Twins went on to win the game easily 10-1 to finish the season at 78-84. Varland the win, 1-2. And again, Sands the save, first of his big league career. But Luis Arraez, a lot of attention on him, deservedly so. A 316 season-ending batting average, and he is the American League batting champion. Busy offseason coming up for the Twins as a disappointing season ends to 78-84 as the Twins had first place for 4 months of the season but fell apart in the end and finished with a sub-500 record. But on to 2023. That planning begins here quickly, and we are back with you. Spring training, February from Fort Myers. Can't wait to get it started, but first, off-season is here. Twins win the game 10-1. We thank you for tuning in all season long and for the final time in 2022. From Chicago, Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
I spent a lot of time watching interviews with Luis Arraez over the last 12 hours or so. Hearing him talk about his family, go to the DR, and setting these goals for himself. The two goals he had at the beginning of this season, he wanted to be named an American League All-Star, which he was, and he wanted to win the American League batting title, which at the beginning of the season seemed like a kind of ridiculous thing for a guy in Luis Arraez who was kind of a utility player. And he still kind of is. Played some first, played some second, played some short, played wherever the Twins needed him to, but that bat staying consistent the whole way through. He talked to the media yesterday about some of the guys he's been able to confide in with some of the stress of this batting title and the East Coast media bearing down on him. He says two of the guys he's called quite frequently, number 6 and number 29.
Oh, yeah. I thought I love with Rucaru, Tony Oliva. But I never meet Kevin Pocket, but I know him. They talk about him a lot, but I talk a lot with Rucaru and Tony Oliva. Those guys, they help me too about my swing, how I need to win it by the title. But I want to say thanks to my hitting coach, Fran Valdez, and to Nelson Cruz. That guy helped me a lot too. I love that guy. He just tried to help me this year and then next year. I think every year he can help me. So I want to say thanks to those guys, and especially my family too, and my coach here, to Rudy Hernandez, to David Poquin. They helped me a lot too, especially to my manager, Rocco Baldelli too.
So the legend of Nelson Cruz continues with the Minnesota Twins, getting a shout-out from Luis Arraez there. I did see this offseason. You want to talk about the impact that a guy that Nelson Cruz, who wasn't here for very long, had on the Twins. I hope we're not going to have to talk about this in a year with the impact that Carlos Correa had. But Carlos Correa having a very big impact on a lot of these guys too, Luis Arraez, and most notably, Jose Miranda, who's going to spend his offseason working out with Carlos down in Houston. So maybe we'll see some Carlos Correa-esque numbers from Jose Miranda, who is going to finish the season as the Twins leader in RBI with 66 RBI for the Twins rookie third baseman. And now we look ahead to next year. Unless you're a big fan of baseball and you want to watch the playoffs, that's one thing I'm going to ask Brandon Warren when we have him on the second half of the Sports Wrap. Is Twins not in the playoffs for the second consecutive season? Who should Twins fans root for in the playoffs? It's not going to be the Yankees. It's not going to be the Astros, I can pretty much guarantee. It's not going to be the Cleveland Guardians. Because as much as there's the fans that say, oh, root for teams within your division. You want to see your division win it. No, I don't want to see the Cleveland Guardians win a World Series. Seattle, maybe. Tampa Bay, yeah, they've had a lot of success with Brady and the Lightning and things like that. The Mets, those poor Mets. Phillies, it's going to be Wild fans upset, but I may be all in on these St. Louis Cardinals. One final hurrah for Albert Pujols, Yadier Molina, Adam Wainwright. I may be jumping on the Cardinals bandwagon. Playoffs start tomorrow with the wild card round. Phillies versus Cardinals, Rays versus Guardians, Padres versus Mets, Mariners versus Blue Jays is your wild card best of three matchup for the 2022 MLB playoffs. It's a special day today for Minnesota Vikings fans who lived through the tumultuous Vikings Red McCombs era of the mid-2000s. It was on this date, October 6th, 2005, that the infamous Vikings love boat scandal happened. 2005. I have a page opened up in my book, Land of 10,000 Aches, available now at the Becker County Museum. Or you can also purchase it online as well. On the 2005 Minnesota Vikings season, well, a little bit of story time here on the Katie Lem Sports Wrap. A year after sneaking into the playoffs at 8-8 and winning a playoff game at Lambeau Field, that was the Randy Moss Moon game, the Vikings started the 2005 season 1-4. They had traded Randy Moss to the Oakland Raiders the previous offseason. Dante Culpepper got hurt in Week 7 as the Vikings saw their pass offense drop from 2nd with Culpepper and Moss to 20th with Brad Johnson and Travis Taylor, who I forgot ever played for the Vikings. While things did eventually turn around midseason with the 6-game winning streak, that's not what me outlets and fans were talking about. The Vikings, 1-3 heading into their bye week, newly signed defensive back Fred Smoot allegedly, coordinated a group outing on Lake Minnetonka. He rented two houseboats from charter company Al and Alma for the get-together of an estimated 100 guests. Special workers were flown in, you know what I'm talking about, from Atlanta and Florida. The first call came into Belize around 9:20 on the evening of October 6th. The report that seven black men had exited a big shuttle bus limousine and had urinated in her front yard. Once the boats left the docks, it became a floating party. If you want the more accurate terms, you can look them up in the book. I'm not going to say these words on the radio today. I'm fired up enough already. The cleaning crew of the boats found a lot of, private time things all over the boat. 17 key members of the Vikings were charged in the role for their part, including Smoot, Culpepper. Oh, there's some names on this list. Maweldy Moore, Pat Williams, Brian McKinney, Nate Burleson, Ralph Brown, Troy Williamson, Travis Taylor, Jermaine Wiggins, Kevin Williams, Lance Johnstone, Willie Offord, and Mo Williams. Four of those players were eventually charged with misdemeanors while the rest of the cases were dismissed. The Love Boat scandal hit the media and the Vikings became the subject of national ridicule, as if they hadn't been already, from sports channels to late night TV. Owner Ziggy Wilf allegedly yelled at the team for 45 minutes in a profanity-laced tirade and threatened to cut any and all players who were involved in the party. Wilf, who was seeking state funding for the new U.S. Bank Stadium, publicly apologized to Governor Tim Pawlenty and other state officials before instituting a new team code of conduct. And that fun party happening on this date back in 2005 on the shores, well, maybe not the shores, a little bit deeper than the shores, of Lake Minnetonka. Coming up second half of Sports Wrap, Brandon Warren is my guest. We'll ask Brandon if he still observes Vikings Love Boat Day. We'll get his thoughts on the 2022 Minnesota Twins season, things this team needs to do to improve for next year. And we'll find out who Brandon is rooting for in the 2022 MLB playoffs, which starts tomorrow. Brandon Warren, my guest, next on the KDLM Sports Wrap.
I'm Steve Weisman with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Tom Brady was unable to practice Wednesday due to right shoulder and right finger injuries. Bucs quarterback says he played through some shoulder pain in Sunday night's loss to the Chiefs. From a former Patriots quarterback to a current one, Mac Jones was limited at practice Wednesday, but was seen throwing after missing last week's game with an ankle injury. Even better news for another Jones at quarterback, Giants starter Daniel Jones, also limited with an ankle injury. The team says he's progressing. They are optimistic he'll be able to play in Sunday's game against the Packers in London. Some other injury news. Saints quarterback Jameis Winston and Chargers Pro Bowl receiver Keenan Allen both remain out of practice. Some great news, though. Just 5 weeks after being shot in the leg during an attempted carjacking, Commanders running back Brian Robinson returned to practice. Robinson called it a, quote, beautiful day. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Is there a calculator that can't compute in your kitchen drawer? Recycle it at Staples. A shredder that won't shred under your bed? Or a collection of cables cluttering up your closet? Recycle them now at Staples. With Staples Free Tech Takeback, we'll recycle your old tech free. Plus, rewards members get $5 back in rewards. So if you have modems, mice, and mobile phones making a mess of your home, recycle them now at Staples. Limit one reward per month. Redeemable in-store only. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/recycling for details.
Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Appropriate restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Subscription required. Refund available for 60 days after purchase.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 90% cheaper? And you can get it online? Go to 4hims.com/joy. At Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation and discreet shipping if prescribed. Love your results or your money back. To start your free online visit, go to 4hims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy.
My mom was diagnosed and passed away from breast cancer in 1997. Knew breast cancer may be an issue for me at some point in my life. Felt a lump. Went and had a mammogram, had a biopsy done. It's breast cancer. And then at that point, I just kind of stopped listening.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And all month, we're encouraging women in the Lakes area to schedule mammograms. This message, presented by Essentia Health and brought to you in part by Layton Broadcasting.
This is the Golden Gopher Daily Update. I'm Mike Grimm. We'll talk Minnesota basketball next.
At Western National, we believe in the power of nice. Nice welcomes you. Nice is sincere. Nice has your back. Nice offers a helping hand and shows up for you when you need it the most. At Western National, Nice has guided our business for over 100 years, and we're just getting started. Ask your independent agent today for Western National Insurance and experience the power of Nice.
Gopher men's basketball coach Ben Johnson says his goal is to change the narrative of negativity around the program.
That has to change, and it's going to change. And the mindset of our staff, of our players, is we embrace the past, we respect it, we honor it, but we have to create our own path, and we have to create our own vision, and it starts with that winner's mentality. Like Kentucky, Kansas, Arizona, you know, teams in our league, they don't think like that. They think like winners think. Like, all right, here's what we got to do. We got to plan a place. We don't worry about obstacles. We don't worry about adversity. You know, we push through. We're not consumed with that. And I think if we can do that, not only in our program, but just, you know, get our fan base, get everybody that's involved and in this building to understand that, like, we're going forward. And, you know, what's done is done. But, like, that can never be in the back of our minds. In the back of our minds has got to be the winning mentality of every single day. We've got guys here that we want to coach. We want to improve. We want to get better. We want to continue to build and build and build and block all that negative, all that energy, the woe is me, that's no longer part of what we're doing and what we're building.
That's Ben Johnson, and that's the Golden Gopher Daily Update. I'm Mike Grimm.
Come join the party.
Friday night football, colorful leaves, and toasty nights in front of the fire. Seven Sisters has the perfect combination of all your favorite fall flavors, from the new fall brews to everything you need to make your favorite fall cocktails. Apple mimosas, spiked ciders, and of course, everything pumpkin spice. Stop in today.
Come join the party at Seven Sisters. Seven Sisters Spirits.
Hi folks, we're Midco, your local provider that provides you more. Internet with the speediest speeds, TV terrificness, phone fantasticness. Hello? Get data for days and days and days beyond that. Real people, reliability, really great service. For real, not kidding. More of what you want. More incredibleness and more oomph. But who doesn't like more oomph? Whoa, that's Midco.
Midco.com/Detroit Lakes.
It came on a night like any other. With power unlike anything else on Earth. Using beyond advanced active ingredients like bicyclopyro, Acuron GT post-emergence corn herbicide is here to annihilate tough weeds. Advanced technology, enhanced control. Talk to your Syngenta retailer about Acuron GT. Always read and follow label instructions.
So you're saying I could save some money now by bundling my crop protection products? But I'd miss out on the 5 to 15 bushels per acre advantage from Acuron herbicide?
Mm-hmm.
And the 4 bushel advantage Saltro seed treatment has over Olivo seed treatment?
Yeah.
And the 18 and a half bushels per acre advantage from Travipro fungicide?
Yep.
So the bundle deal isn't really all that much of a deal, is it?
Nope.
Better yield is the better deal. Talk to your retailer or Syngenta rep to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide.
It's time for a Wolves Minute. I'm Cal Soderquist. Well, the Timberwolves got their preseason underway last night. They were in Miami taking on a shorthanded Heat squad. No Jimmy Butler, no Victor Oladipo. Wolves missing some key pieces as well as Karl-Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, and D'Angelo Russell all sat this one out. But it did not matter because the Timberwolves leaned on a backcourt of Anthony Edwards and Jalen Noel. They each co-led the team in the first half with 14 points apiece. Minnesota built themselves a 12-point cushion at the halftime break and basically kept the Heat at arm's length from there. Torian Prince led the way for the second unit with 19 points in 20 minutes of action. Here's what he had to say about the team having plenty of firepower offensively despite missing the likes of Kat and D'Lo.
Yeah, we believe we can do that no matter who's on the floor, and we just got to take what the defense gives us, keep it simple, and make sure we keep defense as a priority.
Cal Soderquist on the Timberwolves Radio Network.
The Detroit Lakes Holmes Theater brings you Wings Over America, a tribute to Paul McCartney and Wings, Saturday, October 15th. Collective Unconscious presents a night of hits from Paul McCartney, Wings, and the Beatles. The show is based on the well-renowned double live album Wings Over America from 1976. Tickets are $32 for adults and $16 for students. Get your tickets online at dlccc.org or call the box office at 844-SHOW. A tribute to Paul McCartney and Wings, Saturday, October 15th, showtime 7:30.
Life's better on the lake. Holiday Inn on the Lake.
Life is better on the lake, especially when you're enjoying breakfast at the Holiday Inn. Breakfast is served every morning starting at 6:30 and features all of your favorites. Eggs made to order, omelets, pancakes, waffles, hash browns, biscuits and gravy, you name it. Or stop by on Sundays for the brunch buffet from 9 to 1. Lunch is served at 11 o'clock. Burgers, chicken, hot and cold sandwiches, seafood, steak and pasta. Plus, the best salad bar in the lakes area is available every day.
Holiday Inn on the Lake.
Here's your KDLM weatherology forecast. Staying mostly cloudy and cooler today with a high nearing 45. North winds between 15 and 20 and gusting as high as 30. Mostly cloudy and chilly overnight tonight with a low around 28. Staying sunny and still cooler throughout the day on Friday with a high nearing 46. And mostly clear skies throughout Friday night with a low around 31. A bit warmer on Saturday, sunny with our high of 58, and partly cloudy skies throughout Saturday night with a low around 38 degrees. I'm forecaster Kara Foster.
What's up? It's D'Angelo Russell. And this is the radio home for Timberwolves basketball.
Timberwolves basketball on the station you can count on, KDLM.
KDLM, the station you can count on. Welcome back to the KDLM Sports Wrap. Day number 6 of October. The Minnesota Twins season officially done. 10-1 win over the White Sox yesterday. No playoffs for the Twins for the second consecutive season. But what a season it was. With Carlos Correa getting signed here, surprisingly, back in March. Byron Buxton, 28 home runs despite not playing pretty much the entire second half of the season. And it ends yesterday with a batting title for Luis Arraez, the 15th batting title in Minnesota Twins history. To break down the entire season with me, here's Brandon Warren of Access Twins. Brandon, it's over, man. It's finally, it's done. What are we going to do now?
Sit in our houses and look outside and wait for spring to come again, I guess.
Yeah.
No, if I understand your fandom and your authorship, we'll just move on to other things that will disappoint us over the winter. So there's always something there, right?
Yeah. We in the first half of the Sports Wrap, we did read a chapter out of my book. Do you still observe Vikings Love Boat Day? Because it was on this date back in 2005 that the Love Boat scandal happened. So we could have something like that to end the season. Yeah.
Yeah, could be worse. Always could be worse, though. I think that's the Minnesotan adage.
Exactly.
Could have been worse.
You know, it could have been worse. Let's talk about the 2022 season. Started out really, really well. High expectations. Trade deadline expectations got even higher. But just that awful September where I think the Twins lost like 20 of their last 30 games or something like that, just to kind of slump to a sub-500 record. I think the Twins finished 78-84. In 10 years from now, what are you going to remember most about the 2022 Twins season?
Probably that they couldn't get it done with Carlos Correa and a strong trade deadline haul, probably the best in Twins history. And it just came down to injuries and a lot of things going wrong at just the wrong time. Emilio Pagan getting absolutely blitzed in Cleveland at a time when the Twins had a chance to put ground between them and Cleveland. The opposite happened, and those head-to-head matchups are just so vital. And so, yeah, I think we'll look back on hopefully not the only season Carlos Correa is with the Twins, and hopefully they work something out there. But just that maybe the expectations weren't that high coming in, and then they kind of got raised as the season went on because they played so well early on, and then you know, it was just kind of a death spiral in a March to October at the end there, which was pretty painful. I mean, I'm not going to lie. A lot of those games down the stretch were not that interesting or exciting to watch. It'd be the kind of thing you'd watch in the waiting room of a dentist before getting a bunch of teeth pulled. So, yeah, not great.
Yeah, I was kind of Yeah, expectations maybe not where they should have been, because everyone expected the White Sox to run away with the division this year. Twins were expected to kind of be in that 500-ish range. But looking at last year versus this year, despite the disappointing end of the season, Twins still finished six games better in the standings this year than they did last year.
Yeah, and I think part of that, too, goes to expectation management, because coming off 2020, where the Twins, in the shorter season, made the playoffs, and 2019 was such a great season in Twins history, I think it's pretty easy to say that it felt like that team last year was a lot worse than just six games worse. But at the same time, too, that level of improvement, if you go from bad to merely a little better than bad, that's not enough to excite anybody. You know, jumping six wins in the standings matters a lot more when you go from 85 to 91 than when you go from 72 to 78 or whatever. So, you know, I get why fans are frustrated, and I get, too, why they're feeling like they were kind of had for this season, because it really did feel like there was a lot of potential early on. But I don't know. I mean, I think this front office is going to be back at it, nose to the grindstone once the World Series is over, to turn over a new leaf and find some new players and see what happens. They've had some pretty good success in these off seasons. It's just a matter of turning it into success on the field.
We're talking to Brandon Warren from AccessTwins.com this morning. Everyone's talking about the potential Carlos Correa move. Will he opt in? Will he opt out? Is he back? Will he be gone? But another pretty big name, and he showed the power yesterday, knocking his 400th RBI with a three-run home run and that six-run first against the White Sox. That'd be Gary Sanchez, who was kind of brought in as kind of a guy looking to rejuvenate his career. He came over with Gio Urshela in that Josh Donaldson trade in early parts of the season. Thoughts on potentially Gary Sanchez coming back, despite having a guy like Ryan Jeffers at catcher that also didn't stay healthy this year?
To me, what they're probably going to end up doing is going more along the lines of a defense-first backup, and Sandy Leon is not quite that. You know, Sandy Leon was kind of cut from the cloth of like a Chris Jimenez or a Bobby Wilson, a guy who can hang in there every now and then, but you don't want him playing more than once a week. The Twins really like Ryan Jeffers. There's no denying that. And I think Gary Sanchez stepped in and did, you know, fairly well given his track record as a defensive catcher. And, you know, he's got some power. He'll run into one every now and then, but he's not a great batting average or on-base percentage hitter. But I get the sense that the sun will set on Sanchez, and it'll be more like a Jason Castro type to defensively just kind of help shoulder the load and to kind of prod Jeffers along. And hopefully Jeffers' offense rolls into form, because if he can hit like we saw in his rookie season, he could be one of the best catchers in baseball. But as it is, the Twins are going to probably just take his defense and run, because he seems to be really good at calling games, you know, really good at receiving behind the plate. Just in general, a very sturdy, solid catcher. So I think the sun is probably set on Gary Sanchez, though if he comes back for a very reasonable contract, a one-year deal just to kind of try to build up value, I could see an outside shot of that happening.
One of the names that we haven't mentioned very much, specifically the second half of the season here on the Sports Wrap, is Miguel Sano. What do the Twins do with Miguel Sano this offseason?
Well, he's going to come off the 60-day IL, and then they're going to decline his option. Now, is there a potential he could come back on a cheaper minor league deal? I don't know for sure, but I also think, too, the sun's probably set there, and he'll probably end up going somewhere like Detroit to play first base or DH, and they'll look to flip him if he plays well through the first couple months of the season. But at this point now, I just think the same deal the sun has set on him as a Twin. And what a difficult, downright frustrating last season as a Twin for him. I mean, he's barely on the field, 20 games total, and he's just an absolute disaster. It's something to be said about going out with a whimper, and that's probably not even that.
What do you think is the biggest offseason need for the Twins to bring in this year? Because we've got some good guys coming back for the rotation. If Correa comes back, Buxton comes back, bullpen looking okay. What's the biggest offseason need for this team?
They need to bring in a star. And so whether that's Correa at short or Carlos Rodon as a pitcher, or if they want to go out and get a really good outfielder, I don't think that's going to happen, but just stick with me here. They need to go out and get some kind of star to pair with Buxton moving forward, because they've got so many young guys in Kirilloff and Larnick and all these young guys, Miranda, who are going to be on the lower side of contracts. They're going to be cheap for a while yet. So you build with those capable young players with some more higher priced veterans. And to me, that's Correa, But if you can't get him, maybe you sign Xander Bogaerts. Maybe you go even bigger for Trey Turner. They, to me, shortstop is probably number one, and then starting pitcher is 1B, so a 1A, 1B situation. But if Correa's on the way out, I got to go look for like a Carlos Rodon to really build my rotation behind that. Because if you go Rodon, Gray, Malley, and then Rodon, Gray, and Malley, who am I missing? Joe Ryan. Mm. I mean, 1 through 4, that's really sturdy. And then your fifth starter could be Bailey Ober, Josh Winder, Louis Varland. I mean, there's no shortage of names to fill that spot. So they need to go out and get a big-time player, whether it's a hitter or a pitcher. Either one can be considered a success.
I've been doing my best, Brandon, to kind of tune out the East Coast media bias on this batting title chase between Arise and Aaron Judge, where Arise wins it yesterday with a .316 average, but everything I've seen is upset Yankees fans from the way that the Rangers players on the field didn't applaud and congratulate Judge as he was trotting around the bases for home run number 62, and how the Twins didn't want to start an injured Luis Arraez to give Judge a legit chance, they were calling, at the batting title. In your opinion, what has been more annoying this week? New Orleans Saints fans complaining about penalties in that Vikings game, or Yankees fans upset that Major League Baseball isn't bowing to their deity?
Well, I think Yankees fans for me, but that's a home field advantage just because I keep more of a baseball circle in my general vicinity. Football, I still have a lot of football adjacent speaking friends, but I see Yankee stuff all the time, and it's nauseating. I had a guy in Cleveland texting me, a radio guy, saying, "Hey, is he ducking Aaron Judge?" And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I'm getting it from all different angles here." I said, "No, he's hurt. Watch a couple at bats. He can barely walk." And, you know, he gritted it out, had a couple nice games to end the season. But, yeah, there's no denying he wasn't right. I mean, he struggled down the stretch, even before the hamstring started giving him issues. But, you know what, good for him for sticking it out and for playing these last few games, even after sitting for a bit. But, my goodness, Yankee fans, you know, you win 100 games and you're still disappointed. You have the home run champion and you're still disappointed. I hope they aren't disappointed when they lose in the playoffs to someone like the Guardians or something, because it's going to be just too delicious to watch from over here.
That kind of answers my next question. My next question is, with the Twins out of the playoffs, other than whoever's playing the Yankees, who should Twins fans be rooting for in the 2022 playoffs here?
You know, I really like Seattle. They're young. They're interesting. They've got a young guy in Julio Rodriguez who is kind of like everything the Twins would have hoped Byron Buxton would become, just pretty much right away. And they have a GM that is a wheeler and a dealer, and it makes that team just so fascinating. And they got some good young pitching. They're going to be tough. You know, I know Cleveland is kind of like the 2002 Twins. They do some things that maybe aren't super obvious in terms of winning ball games. But for me, I'm going with Seattle, and they're my team in the AL. You can do the NCAA ballot thing or the bracket thing where it's ones on all four of the final four. But one, that's no fun, and two, it never happens. So I'm going Seattle, and I think they're going to take on the Dodgers in the World Series, but I'm really rooting hard for Seattle.
That'd be a good one. Playoffs start tomorrow. Phillies versus Cardinals, Padres versus Mets, Rays versus Guardians, and Mariners taking on the Toronto Blue Jays. Brandon, if someone wants to find your stuff online, your written work, your podcast, where's the best place to find that at?
Go to accesstwins.substack.com and leave us an email address, and you'll get on the newsletter.
Can't wait.
It's finger licking good.
Sweet. Dude.
All right, thanks again to Brandon Warren for joining me on the Sports Wrap today. If you missed any of that interview, you can go back and re-listen to it momentarily online at kdlmradio.com. You can also subscribe to the KDLM Sports Wrap wherever you get your favorite podcasts from. Lots going on in high school sports today. Big cross-country meet in Pahrump, a 27-team meet at Arvig Park, begins at 4 o'clock in what will undoubtedly be the chilliest cross-country meet of the season thus far. Number of regional teams will be competing this afternoon. Ada Borup will be there. Bemidji, Bertha Hewitt, Breckenridge, DGF, Fergus Falls, Frazee, Holly, Lake Park Audubon will be there. Moorhead, New York Mills, Otter Tail Central, Parker's Prairie, Park Rapids, Pelican Rapids, United North Central, Verndale, and Wadena Deer Creek. And, of course, the Perm Yellow Jackets will be there as well. Volleyball schedule tonight looks like this. Staples Motley will be here in Detroit Lakes. 6:45 pregame show. 7 o'clock is when that match begins. Charlie gets you all the coverage tonight on KDLM. Lakers are 12-2 on the season. Staples Motley is 11-6. We've got DGF going to Perham tonight. That game will be on the Lakes 99.5. Frazee is at Pelican Rapids. Lake Park Ottman goes to Fertile Beltrami. And on Real Country 102.3 KRCQ tonight, Holly will travel to Breckenridge to take on the Cowgirls. Other matchups in volleyball tonight, Ada Borup West goes to Manoman-Wauban. Wadena Deer Creek is at Verndale for volleyball tonight. Winnemac goes to Climax Fisher. Henning is in Sabika. Norman County East, Ulan-Hitterdal goes to Moorhead to face Park Christian. Fergus Falls is at St. Cloud Tech. Sartell St. Stephen goes to Alexandria. Battle Lake is in Ashby for volleyball tonight. Fawston goes to Bagley. Rothsay is at Hillcrest Lutheran. Crosby Arrington is at Park Rapids tonight. And New York Mills goes to Monaga. It's the regular season finale for Laker boys soccer tonight. They are at home taking on Hillcrest Lutheran. Other matchups in boys soccer as the season winds down. Alexandria is at Sartell St. Stephen. East Grand Forks goes to Pelican Rapids. St. Cloud Apollo is at Bemidji. And Fergus Falls hosts St. Cloud Tech. In girls soccer tonight, Detroit Lakes goes to Bemidji. We've got Fergus Falls at Hillcrest, Sartell St. Stephen at Alexandria, Pelican Rapids goes to Moorhead. Following Laker volleyball tonight, we will have Timberwolves basketball, our first Timberwolves broadcast of the season, preseason game. They're on the West Coast taking on the Los Angeles Lakers. 9 o'clock tip, Wolves versus Lakers tonight, following Laker volleyball on KDLM. You can find the full broadcast schedule online at kdlmradio.com. That's a wrap for the Sports Wrap. We're back tomorrow, 9:30 on the station. Count on KDLM, Detroit Lakes, Minnesota. We're way past the top of the hour. Quick CBS News break, quicker weather update, then straight to those classic hits here on KDLM.